All right, 6:15, we're going to call the Labor Committee of October 14th to order. We'll just do a quick around the table of who is here. Sean Meske.
Rick Baggerly.
Kathy Schwantes.
Ryan Grummets.
Samantha Beckman.
Vicki Davis.
Thank you for your attendance this evening. Our first item on the agenda is public comment. There is no one here from the public to speak to us this evening. So we'll move on to item 3 on our agenda, vacation cash out policy update. I don't know which one of you are giving this, but this looks like HR Director Beckman, please.
This came as a request from some of our more senior employees, so I wanted to bring it to the committee first to see if they had any appetite to add this sentence to our current vacation cash out policy. The current policy is in black. Employees who have accumulated at least 120 vacation hours may cash in 41 per calendar year, as long as they have used at least 40 hours of vacation time in the past 12 months. And we could add the additional sentence stipulating that employees who have at least 240 vacation hours could cash in up to 80 once per calendar year. Some of our more senior employees had asked for if there was anything we could do for those who are finding themselves reaching the maximum accumulation, but they really aren't in a place they can take time off right now. So I thought this was a compromise we could offer if that is something the Labor Committee wanted to offer in addition to the current cash out.
Councilor Schwantes.
Would this be beneficial to the city for budgeting purposes so that we don't have people accumulating great amounts that we have to pay out when they retire or leave?
Sure. There is a maximum accumulation already in place. It gets higher the longer you've been here. So as far as retirements, it could potentially reduce the amount that they have in their bank, because I would assume most people would rather cash it out now rather than wait till they retire for the cash out. But it does have budgetary implications as far as now they'd be able to cash out more. Mm-hmm. Previously it's been 40 hours is the most they could cash out in 1 year. So that's an unknown factor. Any given year, you don't know how many employees are going to cash out and how many hours they're going to cash out. So honestly, I know finance, I'm not sure how they budgeted for this policy already, but I know we have to have that conversation with finance if this is the route we want to go.
What's the max?
It gets higher.
Let's take my most senior employee.
Oh, okay. Let's see. It probably would be, if they can accumulate...
840, do we?
That's sick leave. Yeah. The vacation leave is less. It's twice their annual allotment. So if the most they can accumulate is 20 days, then the most they'd be able to have in their bank is, how many hours does that end up being?
40 days, so 320, right?
Yeah, times 8, yeah. It's 320.
Okay. Then that would be what the most anyone could accumulate is.
So if they've accumulated 240, you're talking about a long-term employee who really rarely takes any vacation time.
Yeah, they would definitely have to be a more senior employee. They're not going to get that much in their bank.
And do we have a use it or lose it policy? So
you'll stop accumulating it at a certain point. Mm-hmm. So you can carry over up to your max, but if you hit your max mid-year, you just sit at that until you use some.
One could say that if you were to do up to 80 hours of vacation in the last 5 years of your employ, that would increase your retirement benefits, because your last five, it's all based on your last 5 years. So there is actually method to the madness here. It may not be that they just can't get around to taking vacation, because I think people take vacation if they have to or they'll lose it. Long-term employees may just view this as being a way of having 54 weeks of income, and it just jacks up the retirement by that amount. Whenever I run into employees that can't ever get around to taking their vacation, when it gets to the use it or lose it, they usually take it.
Mm-hmm. That's my experience as well.
So, that's...
The purpose of vacation is to take a vacation and leave because there's some mental health good qualities that come out because of that. And
further discussion.
You made me think of another aspect when you mentioned that, though, because I guess technically, if they'd be cashing it out now, you'd assume it'd be at a lower rate than when they retire, because you assume their rate of pay is only going to get higher. That was just another, there's just a lot of different avenues.
Yeah, I'm...
Budgetarily.
If they've got these many hours, they're probably looking at retiring, and all I'm saying is, if this was in place in the last 5 years, which is when PRA looks back and determines your high 5 years, which is likely your last 5 years, that they would then have 54 weeks of income in the last 5 years.
So the current policy is in black?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
So the door is already open that they can do
120.
If they have 40, if 40 hours 40. If they have
120
than 120.
That's 53. That's one extra.
Now, this is also giving a benefit without any contract negotiation, right? I mean, it's...
I'm hearing from...
Is this in any of the union language?
Just the first sentence. The first sentence is, yes.
I think I'd save it till then. If they felt strongly about that.
That's what I'm thinking too.
I mean, it could be a negotiation strategy, or you want this labor negotiations, well, we want this.
Sure. Just for some background, it's non-union employees who have been asking me about it. But yes, that is something you could do.
The other thing, and I'm not advocating for it, but if we were going to pay out up to 80 hours, I think they should have to take at least 80 hours of vacation to be able to pay out twice as much as what you're even taking. I think you should have to take even more than that 80 hours to make sure they're using their vacation.
What's the maximum vacation days you can take in a year?
It would be as many as you have in your bank.
Is it you can use your entire bank within a year? Oh my, okay. I work in a place where that is not something you can do. There's a limitation. Okay.
Used to be that way.
Yeah.
We changed it.
Okay.
Remember one employee took 6 months of vacation, then he retired.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
That's precisely why I can't do that where I work.
That's why there's a maximum accumulation.
Exactly. Okay.
Like, well, 40 hours, that's only 1 week.
Yeah, right.
That's not much vacation time to take.
Maybe they should have to take at least half of their time.
Well, are there more questions on the policy itself, the change recommended, I'm hearing some ideas that we are in the thought that it's a novel idea, but bring it up at negotiations. But is there any questions about the policy itself?
What is the union? Are they all different?
No, the unions all have just that first sentence, that black
just
line, in their contracts.
But the non-union, they have same?
Everyone right now just has what's in the black. Oh, everybody does.
So the door is already open.
Yeah.
They can do it under these guidelines or these rules.
Yep.
The question now is how much.
Yeah, and that's why. So I see two different things. One is, are we okay with the change that's there and we'd like to have it done during the negotiations, or do you think there's something wrong with the policy here in the first place? I want to hear both perspectives. I think there's two pieces there, because I'm hearing some difference of opinions on some of it. But Councilmember Schwantes?
Well, I think I've already talked too much on this maybe, but I would, if it was going to go forward, I think that they need to take at least as many hours of vacation as they're being paid out vacation. I think 40 hours is way too little for being paid out 80. But again, I think it should be, we're giving up something here. I think it should be done during contract negotiations.
Yep. Is there?
Well, I think what I'm hearing, though, is the issue is being brought up not by contract negotiation people.
But it's going to end up in those contracts, right? If we put it into the policy, I mean, well, they don't even have to have it in the contract, but it's in the policy, they're going to be wanting it in all those contracts.
Well, if we put it in policy, don't they automatically get it too?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, so it is.
So,
so
you are giving them something.
You would be giving, that is absolutely
without getting
correct.
Anything for it.
Absolutely. When you look at it that way, that is absolutely correct. Any thought to the idea of the 80-80, if you are thinking the idea is a good one in green? Any opinion on that? I'm trying to spur some discussion. But I'm not going to force it, so.
What would you do in New Ulm?
Use it or lose it. There was no cash out. You cashed out when you retired. We cashed out if you left employment. But I mean, I had the other thing that we would do is, if you reach your maximum, you could get permission from the city manager to carry over an additional week or something above and beyond that. I had one individual who planned like a 4-week European vacation for his 40th anniversary, you know, with his wife, and I went, that's a one-shot deal, that's as good as anything.
Mm-hmm.
He was also the same employee that would come in at the end of the year and say, I haven't been able to take my vacation in other years, and in the first year I gave him an extension, and the second year I said, you're an adult. You know how long 12 months is.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to take vacations, but I just can't take vacations. Yes, you can. And then he started taking vacations.
Yeah.
So when push comes to shove, you know, the employees will take them if there's a cutoff. Here, at least, you know, the door has been open where it says, you know, you can at least get 40 hours.
Is there any appetite for moving this at this time? Okay, then I'm not going to belabor it any longer. We'll take that off at this time. A discussion item that can happen again at a later date. Our next item is Section 4, the Employee Personnel Policy, 9th Section. Director Beckman, please.
Okay, this one, I don't think, there's very little, if no change to what the league recommended for language. I think the only thing I changed was adding human resources as someone you could report to. I think in the league, sometimes they have smaller cities that just don't have a human resources department, so I added that. But I did want to point out again that the sexual harassment prevention and the respectful workplace policy differ from anything else we've looked at so far, as in the language, it does say that it applies to elected officials and members of boards and commissions and volunteers. So these two policies specifically pointed out they would apply to more than just employees. Just wanted to make sure that is how the league has recommended language. If you would like to change that, we certainly can.
Let me just add a hypothetical. If an elected official were to violate one of these policies,
mm-hmm.
will this go over charter? The charter, I think, talks about pieces, but make sure this is in congruence with the charter, because the charter does address some of those issues, and I forget how they have it for violations of it. Because there is a section that talks about those things, and I believe sexual harassment is in the charter, or acts of malfeasance, that seems to stick in my head, that was a piece that was in there. But I would want to make sure that those things are in congruence, because I personally think that this is absolutely something that public officials should be, that's my opinion, but I know that penalties for disobeying those might already be laid out in the charter that might be not consistent with this.
so she'll have to go over the charter and look at it.
Yeah, it's a great document. Very nice reading. But it does, and specifically, that's just as far as the public, the elected official component. I think it should be included. But if someone violates it, that's my question of what happens then.
Then will this be given to all these people? Yep. Commissions, volunteers, everyone?
Yes, as soon as it is approved by council, we'll add it to the welcome packet that members of boards and commissions get. But I do also think we'll need to send it out to all the existing ones as well. Yeah. And then, yes, we'll add it to their welcome packet they get for newly appointed members.
So do we have training for staff and everyone in regard to the same issue?
Not currently. We don't have any annual training that we do or anything like that.
Is a council meeting considered workplace? It is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As far as training is concerned, if you have a schedule, you know, like if it was every year for respectful workplace training, or, you know, every 2 years for sexual harassment, I would encourage that. Because once you're on a cycle, it reflects the employer is earnest about educating its employees about the issues. If you don't do it, but you still have this, there's a crutch that they can grab a hold of and say, well, I didn't know, all I had to say was no, or I didn't know who to talk to, because nobody ever really told me, and I didn't read this. Right. It was mandatory in New Orleans, once a year sexual harassment, and then I think once every other year for a respectful workplace. And
is there a video? Is there a video that would be available through the league that could be used to do that training so that you don't even have to?
We brought.
You brought someone
league
in.
League staff in.
Okay.
That's who we brought. It was, you know, person to person, and then if I'm not mistaken, we did video it in case, you know, the night police mm-hmm. department, you know,
sure.
shift isn't able to show up and that kind of stuff. So I think we videotaped it for ourselves and then replayed it for internal use, but yeah, they've got staff that will come out.
Just again, you can check with the charter too, but if a thing is levied against an elected official, where does that go? Because in here it makes it very clear that you go to your supervisor, so on. Mm-hmm. Where does that go?
It spells out exactly each scenario. So it would be either the mayor or the city council member or the attorney directly.
So, okay, so if it's a city council member, mm-hmm. that would go right to the attorney.
Yep. I think it had the option of the attorney or the mayor as reporting structure.
And if it would be the mayor, hypothetically speaking, of course,
yeah.
that would go to the attorney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, because those aren't as clear. That hierarchy is a little... Is that in here? Mm-hmm.
It does. I'm trying to remember. I think they had the same reporting structure in both policies. So it's
I saw
a little
it in
confusing.
The first one. I didn't see it in the second one.
Yeah, I was going to say it is a little confusing because the first couple pages are the sections that are going to go in the handbook. And then following that is policies in full. Because they were 4 pages long, so I didn't want to take up 4 pages of the handbook with each policy. So that's why it's confusing.
Well, when I look at the end of the sexual harassment prevention piece, the very first document, it has a listing of retaliation and who I should go to for reporting in a chronological order. The respectful workplace, I don't see it there. Mm-hmm. Maybe I missed it, but I'm looking for a listing of 1 through 5.
Yeah. So I know it has the second page of the respectful workplace policy, right before that paragraph before step 1A.
Yep.
Advise the supervisor, the state administrator, human resources, or city attorney promptly. It lists them there. I'm pretty sure it had it listed somewhere else as well. Oh, that's supervisor.
1C has a hierarchy.
Oh, here we go. The very last page. Supervisor is perceived to be the cause. You go directly to the city administrator. The administrator is the cause. You go to the city attorney. If a council member is the cause, you report to the city administrator and refer to the city attorney. So that very last page under special reporting requirements. Right after step 6. You guys don't have that page?
We have that page.
I don't have that.
But it, he is correct that it's under step 1C.
But I guess I would like to see that. Instead of embedded, I think it's really nice in the first one where it's listed out. I mean, if you were to reiterate that, it just seems like that is like a step-by-step piece. We don't have that page.
Yeah, I don't know. Why not? Does yours have it added?
Ours ends at retaliation, and then we go into the possession and use of dangerous weapons.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not sure how that happened.
So yeah. Maybe it's on that page that you're referencing?
Yeah, sorry. I can pass it around.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there's more. There's
yeah, I'm
more
not sure
steps.
How that happened.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't realize this existed. Okay, this
it's
is
not the electronic version.
That's exactly.
I think we just have the
exactly
summary version instead
yeah.
of the full version.
Well, no, she's just missing one page. It's missing.
Oh, okay.
That page is missing because it goes. We went from step 2, and there's no step 3, and so on. So it's that whole page. Your back page is missing.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not really sure how that happened.
That's right, because that's my question, though. So it is in writing there. Because that. That you have to be very, I think we have to be very careful
yeah.
and sensitive about.
I think we got the summary, but we didn't get the full.
Yeah, and I would anticipate that probably in the charter, if it's a council member, then that city attorney then would be notified, and then that process would kick in.
Well, that's what I think. And I mean, it can go to removal of office and so
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, council people, you should be aware of that. I mean, if by adopting this, currently you may get away with, you aren't getting away with sexual harassment, but you may get away with some of these respectful workplace pieces because they're not cited specifically in charter. This does put you on the hook for a respectful workplace as well. That's a difference. That's a change.
I appreciate that it includes commissions and
yeah.
Absolutely.
Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'd address the issue we had a while back.
Yep. And hopefully any in the future. So is there an appetite with moving 9 forward, or do we have more pieces that we... Or we do still have the, is there an illness policy?
Yep. Job-related injury illness policy. This is just adding, the black is what we've already adopted, and then as I'm going through our personnel policy and auditing it and making sure we're covering all our bases, the green was in our current personnel policy. So I'm just putting them into one so we don't have the same information in two different places. And as we're getting to the end here, because we actually do only have 2 sections left, there's going to be quite a few more of those once we get to the very end. Cleaning up, I found quite a few policies in our handbook right now that are really financial policies that don't really need to be in the handbook.
Okay.
So things like that that we'll need to clean up in the next month or two here. But we are reaching the end. I have it all fully updated.
Question on the job-related injury or illness policy piece. All right, we're looking to entertain a motion to move Section 9 to the council.
Will I make a motion to move Section 9 to the council?
You're a member.
Yeah, but I'm not sure I want to make that second. I'm getting ahead of it, but of the motion,
well,
but
can we have a motion so we can have a discussion
like,
then?
Yeah. Well, I'll make the motion then so we can have
the
discussion.
Second the motion.
I'll second it, yeah.
Motion made and seconded to move this to council. Discussion, please.
Okay, so I think we should check to see if this, how it varies from the charter before we move it forward. And
okay.
I'd like to see it come back with those comments.
Yeah, what's in the charter? Can you mesh that in with this?
Then it would also apply
no?
to employees, too.
Right.
So it, I guess that could look
well,
in. I don't,
well,
I
could,
don't know.
You could
the
add
charter.
Another point,
yeah.
I suppose, in here that says
yeah.
if it's a council member and or mayor, because it has pieces for both of those, that violations of these, and I'm sure the only thing that's going to probably be different is that you could forfeit your office.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only thing that would be different. And so, I mean, one sentence could express that, but it really, I agree, we probably should address that piece first. And that's going to be in both of them, so probably holding 9 for that makes sense to me.
We could, I know we've done this, I think, in previous sections. We could just reference the city charter, add a sentence that does say, see city charter for discipline or for something like that.
Yeah.
Then
yeah,
if the charter's
reference.
Updated, it it's
reference
updated
for
the policy.
For council members, the city charter is also applicable.
Yeah, so
yeah.
It's just something that addresses
right.
that.
Yeah.
Councilmember Schwantes.
I really like having the charter language in it, though, because what employee is going to go, it takes another set of, another chunk
step.
Of effort to do that. And yet for them to read that in the policy might be very empowering to them if they really feel that this has been happening to them. So I think there's something powerful about having them read that and feeling, you know, it's a difficult thing to come forward when you have been
harassed.
Yeah. Yeah, when you've been the victim of that. And so I would want to make it as easy as possible for someone.
Okay. Just to make it clean, the maker and the second of the motion like to withdraw their motions at this time? So otherwise we'll have a vote and not move it forward, and then we'll have to we'll just sit back. So you want the minutes to read.
I withdraw my motion.
I agree.
Okay. Then we will wait on section 9 until we get the charter language as it addresses the elected officials. Section 10, which will be, we may bring forward a 9 and 10 possibly next time. I don't think we have to delay 10's appearance on the scene with our delay for the charter piece, but if you would please outline what we have in section 10.
Yes, pretty straightforward. Separation from service spelled out, discipline spelled out. I did want to reference the long green list on the third page. We currently do have in our personnel policy all of these things listed, so I wanted to preserve that so you could see what we currently have. But if the committee was interested in shortening that list, that is something we could definitely do. I also changed the grievance procedure to actually match what we have in our current contracts and policies.
Oh, this is silly.
Yeah.
No, this is insanely silly. So if I do something that's not on this list, am I good?
No. Because at the beginning it says it's not intended to be exhaustive.
Exactly.
But then it is very exhaustive.
It's exhausting. I mean, fighting on city time.
Can yeah.
I fight? This is a silly list. I would be totally in favor of this being streamlined because,
okay.
I mean, won't these things more or less be outlined in some other sections? But, I mean, I think you can pare this down. I mean, how to do that. I mean, there's got to be other examples that are not like this.
Well,
altering a bulletin board?
Normally you see the sentence that talks about malfeasance, misfeasance,
yeah.
theft, or,
yeah.
you know, it's just like 6 or 7 words.
Yes.
And it covers all of these things in one fashion or another.
Yeah, this is silly. so I can launch fireworks in the city hall. That's cool because that's not on the list.
Well, that's horseplay.
Oh, is that horseplay? I didn't get that
that's
far.
That's definitely horseplay.
So yeah.
That's a mother you cannot fool. She's had enough kids.
So yes, I think that your instincts are very correct. Please reduce that down.
Oh my goodness, that's very exhausting.
Oh, okay. Next thing is a $300. No, there's some kind of grievance procedure.
Yep, the grievance procedure, I had just changed to reflect what's in current contracts and current policies. Just so it was the 10 days, for whatever reason, the league had, they'll meet within 10 days, but you have to get the answer within 5, and then the repeal is in 5, and I just made them all universal, except for the very last step, since that appeal can include an appeal to the city council. So that one is an extended 20, within 20 days, get a response.
All right. Questions on that initially? All right. I think the next one is $300 changes.
Yep. That one, I've been talking with Brian a little bit as far as what he would recommend that number be. The league had left it blank, so that one might change by the time we come to our next meeting in 2 weeks. That's why it's highlighted.
What are the going rates for most meetings these days that city employees would attend?
You know,
it's all over the board.
The
league has a regional meeting and it costs you $20 or $30.
Right.
And so $300 gets up to the point, maybe not quite as high as, let's say, the Minnesota City Managers Association.
Mm-hmm.
You know, annual meeting in May. That's probably in that $500 area.
Okay.
But you don't typically see that, you know, for whether it's the clerk's position or, you know, even human resource. So it's under $500 would probably cover everybody. Under $300 would probably cover 80% of everybody.
That $300 it references the, you know, training, session, travel, meals. Is that $300 inclusive of all of that? Because if I'm driving into the cities, that's not going to take much to hit that.
I thought it was exclusive of.
Yeah, I think it's just referencing the actual cost of the meeting, because then the next sections get into travel, compensation for travel time, and travel and meal allowance is on that second to last page.
This would just be the registration training session.
Yep.
And if you want, though, we can continue on that train, though. Okay, I think the next piece is on the travel and meal allowance piece.
Yep. That I had just changed because that's what we've previously approved when we updated our travel policy a couple months ago. So.
And that was going with the IRS rate for meals.
So what happens if you stay at a hotel that provides breakfast? You still get paid for breakfast then?
No. Usually what happens is when this has occurred in another city, what would happen is usually the clerical support for that department sending 3 linemen to Cincinnati. And they go, okay, the conference pays for your noon meal. There's a free breakfast. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking continental breakfast. I'm talking a real breakfast. I don't count donuts and juice. Mm-hmm. I just don't. And so if there's a meal, they'll go like, okay, these individuals, they get their evening meal on Monday, they get their noon meal on Tuesday, and, you know, breakfast on Wednesday, and that's what they get reimbursed for. That's how I've seen it work, and that's usually the best way to go about it, because if you've got meals provided, like the manager's conference, your registration includes all the meals. There'd be absolutely no reason for somebody to come back and say, oh, yeah, and I get my meal per diem for 3 days up at Grandview. No, your meals are included. So you just, either the employee has to go through and look at it and say, these meals are provided, or there's a banquet on Thursday night, so that's provided, that's part of your registration, but the rest of the days are not. So that's how I would work it. It's kind of the honor system, but at the same time, your department should have staff who, many times, they're the ones registering the employees for that particular event. And for them just to go through the synopsis and says, because they'll tell you, meal provided, you're on your own,
Because I would imagine if I went with a department and four of us went and three of us said meals are provided and the fourth one said, yeah. No, I got the meals, and that's going to take us back to that first page you were talking about before.
Yeah.
That's on the green list.
Well, yeah.
You know, that is.
I mean, if you stay at a Hilton, breakfast is always free.
Yeah, there you go. So. You're not recommending that we put that in the ordinance that you have to stay at a Hilton?
But there's other ones too that provide breakfast.
Absolutely. So. If you're getting the free breakfast, you shouldn't. I mean, it's easier to check when you got many employees going, if they're being honest.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if the meal is provided at noon and you'd rather go to McDonald's, you had a meal provided.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Other questions on that one? Initially? We can have more next time. Next one is outside employment policy.
No. Oh, good. Okay. Make sure you had that one. Yes. Outside employment policy, everything in black was league language. Everything in green is what we currently have in our handbook. And then I did add a few changes in talking with our fire department admin and fire chief, just to make things a lot clearer on how they're reimbursed if they are a full-time employee and also a paid on-call firefighter.
You addressed the one red underlined section there. That must be something that was new then?
Yes. Historically, I believe, honestly, it does not happen very often. And so that's why it's hard to keep track of what it is. But historically, yes, you would need to take vacation time to attend a fire department training. We only have one employee in the position right now who happens to work at the fire department. But in the circumstance, we had a public works operator who was also a paid on-call firefighter. They would need to take vacation time from their full-time job to attend the fire conference, because their full-time job doesn't need firefighting training to their full-time job. So like other employees who aren't employees of the city but they're paid on-call firefighters, it's the same thing. They need to take vacation time from their day job if they're going to be attending a firefighting conference.
Okay, so the on-call piece is
what's
pivotal here. Is,
yes.
This is somebody, yeah.
Yes.
All right.
All of our firefighters are on call. They're paid on call firefighters, not volunteer firefighters, and so that might be what's confusing.
Well, no, what's confusing is they have to use vacation time, but it's not vacation time from the city, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it would be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, all the on call firefighters are required to go to North Dakota for a 2-day training. They would need to take 16 hours of vacation time to attend that training. Because
from the city.
From the city.
So if Sam is, I'm sorry,
yeah.
I shouldn't interrupt. That's if it. Sam's a firefighter for us and mm-hmm. she wants to go to this training, she's going to take her vacation time so she can go to the training.
Why? Why not just make it part of their assignment to go to the training? This is where my head is. Isn't that part to improve how they do their job at this training?
I think what she's saying, if it doesn't pertain to their job here.
Mm-hmm. As a human resource person, she's not
going
for human resources.
She's going
for
firefighting.
Oh, okay.
Are you a fire?
You're putting fires out.
No, I'm just saying, if she were.
Well,
yeah.
To simplify it, I would guess, I did not have a conversation with Samantha on this, but I would guess if you have a city employee who is working and is a volunteer fireman,
right,
that if the fire alarm goes off, they probably run out the door and they go fight that fire.
Correct.
And in all likelihood, they are not going to lose any pay from their regular job because it's emergency. Most cities are like that.
Okay.
City employee leaves, goes to an emergency, you just continue their park department pay, you continue their street department pay, you continue their pay. Now, if you're an officer working, You can't respond because your job is emergency service response. But any other employee, now if they want to go to a conference and they're an employee in park department and they're going to the fire conference, that they got to take vacation
right.
to go to the fire conference.
Okay. Thank you. Yep.
Except for the fire chief.
Yeah.
Because that relates to their
job.
Yep.
Okay.
That's why I included the on-call part.
So we have, I mean, I know they all are on-call. This is an on-call city employee who's working a different job.
Yep.
That's a very, there's a lot of adjectives that go in front of that employee's name. That makes sense to me now. It just, and you say we have one such employee?
There's only one right now. I know historically there have been more, but there's only one right now.
Yeah, in many cities you'll see a third of the fire department are city employees.
Okay.
Wow.
Because many people work in other communities, and you have to have people that are in your community to respond to the fire. You can't wait a half an hour. So you see a large portion of employees volunteer for this. Wilmer may not be one of those communities. But.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised to find out that our Police Chief Jim Felt is a volunteer firefighter for Spicer.
Yeah, I was surprised too.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. Any questions on that one? All right. So we will address the changes to 9 and then all of 10 next meeting. Anything else need to come before labor this evening? That's way different than the first meeting this evening. So, hearing none, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right, we are adjourned. Thank you again for your attendance this evening. We are adjourned.
Thank you.